MRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Some Shenandoah County residents want Confederate names restored to two schools there, and it's likely they'll get their wish. We review some of the legislation that Governor Youngkin vetoed and amended, including funding for education. And why is Virginia one of the few states that allows the governor to amend bills? This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, April 10th. A group of Shenandoah County residents wants Confederate names restored to two schools there. WHSV reports that the group, which calls itself the Coalition for Better Schools, wants Mountain View High School and Honey Run Elementary School to return to their previous names, Stonewall Jackson High School and Ashby Lee Elementary School. The Confederate names were removed in 2020. In 2022, the school board considered restoring them, but the vote failed on a 3-3 tie. It is likely the name reversion will be approved this year with a new conservative school board in place following the November elections. Orange County's fire marshal is investigating a Monday night fire at James Madison's Montpelier estate. The property's foundation says the fire appears to have damaged the on-site archaeology lab. The National Historic Landmark was the Madison family's plantation house. Damage is still being assessed, and Montpelier remains open to the public under normal operation. No one was injured. The fire's cause is under investigation. A dairy processing company plans to invest more than $83 million at its facility in Frederick County. Governor Glenn Youngkin announced Tuesday that the investment by H.P. Hood LLC will upgrade its production and build additional cooler and warehouse space. Hood's Winchester facility, which was constructed in 2000, employs more than 600 people and processes milk and non-dairy products. The governor said that the project will receive $50,000 in state funding through his office's Agriculture and Forestry Industries Development Fund, which Frederick County will match with local funds. Several of the amendments to Virginia's budget issued Monday by Governor Youngkin affect state education funding. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner reports.
House Education Committee Chair Sam Rasool patroned an effort to allow localities to add a new sales tax to fund schools. The bill got an almost veto-proof bipartisan majority, and a similar version was sponsored by former GOP Majority Leader Terry Kilgore. But Governor Glenn Youngkin vetoed the bill Monday night, saying it could, quote, result in a nearly $1.5 billion tax increase on Virginians. Here's Rasool's reaction.
Many localities were really looking forward to having this other tool to be able to build schools, especially with the current crumbling infrastructure.
Democrats said they were still reviewing the details of Youngkin's budget amendments Tuesday, but Manassas Senator Danica Rome noted her effort to increase reimbursement rates for school meals was among those reduced by the governor.
I'm glad that we are doing something. At the same time, I don't think we need to go and pick apart, feeding cuts.
Cities and counties will also be parsing out Youngkin's education spending this week. Among them is Richmond Mayor LeVar Stoney, who warned education funding increases were needed, especially in the wake of the pandemic.
The Commonwealth of Virginia has shortchanged our kids for far too long, and so any cuts to education will be harmful.
Youngkin did agree to raises for teachers over the next 2 years, but how funds for wage increases will draw from other education spending will be a point of debate when the legislature returns to Richmond next week. I'm Brad Kuttner.
One of the more than 150 bills Youngkin vetoed this session was a measure to cut prescription drug prices. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reports that the legislation, sponsored in the Senate by Cree Deeds of Charlottesville, would have created a new prescription drug affordability board, empowered to review drug affordability and limit prices when appropriate. Youngkin said the board might have limited access to treatments. Youngkin also vetoed a bill that would carve out funds for towns under local plastic bag taxes. Cities and counties can opt into the 5 cent per bag tax as a way to generate environmental cleanup and education funds, and towns receive none of that money. Youngkin argues the tax does not reduce littering and that redirecting revenues to towns may encourage their reliance on these taxes. Delegate Marty Martinez of Loudoun County disputes his reasoning.
This should not be something that the town would rely on, but more to augment what they're already trying to do when it comes to outreach on environmental concerns.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, Virginia has 190 towns. The General Assembly will consider several bills amended by the governor when they return to Richmond next week, including one regarding skill games. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
The lawmakers are weighing the odds about how to handle the governor's amendment to their legislation allowing skill games at convenience stores and truck stops. Now, the amendment says that the machines cannot be within 35 miles of a casino or historic horse racing facility like Rosie's Gaming Parlors. Senator Aaron Rouse is a Democrat from Virginia Beach who says small businesses are not happy that the governor increased the tax rate on the machines.
A Republican governor has increased taxes on small businesses. I don't know if these are the effects of the full eclipse or not, but that to me was surprising, along with the 35-mile radius, where that knocks out Virginia Beach, that knocks out Portsmouth, that knocks out the majority of the state.
Conservative groups like the Family Foundation were urging a veto, but Todd Gackey at the Family Foundation says a limited program is better than widespread neighborhood slot machines.
It appears that there's going to be a limit of about 20,000. So we'll see how this goes. But I think that the governor and our elected officials have a responsibility to make sure that we don't become a place where it is just completely littered with a whole bunch of vices.
Now supporters have a choice. Do they want to accept a limited program now and try to expand to the future, or do they want to bag it for this year and try again next year? Michael Pope.
Virginia is one of just a handful of states that allows governors to amend legislation, not just sign or veto it. Jad Khalil with VPM News reports.
Youngkin had already vetoed a record number of bills and proposed an unprecedented number of changes to the budget. And when it came to amending legislation, he took an active approach too. In some cases, Youngkin totally swapped out what the legislature passed for his own bill text. One would have had Virginia follow a pair of U.S. Supreme Court cases on contraceptive access. The bill's Democrat sponsors say that guts the legislation and would make it more suggestion than law. On skill games, the governor is asking the General Assembly to switch out all but one line of a 27-page bill. His rewrite is a lot less permissive on the games, which resemble slot machines. Youngkin also wants to require a study before a vote next year on other topics, like how the state interacts with racist imagery from the Confederacy and how immigrants are referenced in state law. The General Assembly will consider these proposals on April 17th.
Jad Khalil reporting. And finally today, Virginia moonshine lovers now have something to toast. That's because Franklin County beat out its nearby rival, North Carolina's Wilkes County, in a friendly debate over who can take the moonshine crown. Cardinal News reports that the idea came about during a three-day event in Martinsville for NASCAR's Speed Week. After one event organizer heard Wilkes County's claim to be the moonshine capital, participants included Warwick Scott. He is the grandson of NASCAR racer Wendell Scott, the sport's first black driver, and the subject of the movie Greased Lightning. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Cheers! And I hope you enjoy your Wednesday.